the pastor of the Lutheran church wanted to sell his horse. And one of the parishioners was interested in buying the horse, so he goes out to the pastor's farm to take a look. The parishioner asked if he could ride the horse, and the pastor said, "Yeah, but there's something you need to know. This is a Christian horse, and I've taught it Christian commands. So, if you want the horse to go, you say, 'Praise the Lord.' If you want to go faster, say, 'Praise the Lord' again. And then if you want it to stop, you go, 'Amen,' and it'll stop." So, the parishioner gets on the horse, and he says, "Praise the Lord." And the horse begins to walk. "Well, this is great," he says. "Praise the Lord." Horse breaks into a trot. "Oh, this is a nice horse. Praise the Lord." And the horse tears off in a fierce gallop, going across the field. Parishioner can't believe how fast this horse is until he sees that they're headed towards a ravine. And the horse isn't turning. And the man starts yelling, "Stop, stop." Horse doesn't do anything. "Whoa." And the horse doesn't do it. Finally remembers, "Amen." And the horse stops right there at the edge of the ravine. And he's looking down and seeing how close, don't get ahead of me, how close he came to going in. He says a little prayer to God. "Praise the Lord." So there we have the man sitting on his horse at the edge of the ravine. He momentarily, as we would say, dodged a bullet. He was safe. He had survived almost certain calamity. The humor of the joke, of course, is found that in that moment of salvation when he relaxes and gives thanks to God, declaring "Praise the Lord," and we know what happens. There are many instances in our lives when we metaphorically dodge bullets like this. Maybe it's a near miss at an intersection. Maybe it is catching a mistake in your checkbook before you're overdrawn. And sometimes it's not metaphorical, it's literal. Once I was showing a friend of mine how to shoot a rifle. It was going well until she lowered the gun and inadvertently pulled the trigger, discharging the gun right next to my foot. I guess I did dodge a bullet then. Dodging a bullet sometimes is due to just pure luck, but it's usually because we did something. We actively dodged at the right time. And maybe it is something small, like stopping as someone runs a red light. Or maybe you're a student and you hadn't prepared for that exam and you get to school knowing you're going to fail and the teacher's not there that day. You dodged a bullet. Or maybe you go back to your high school reunion and you see your love interest from back in the day. Bullet dodged. Whew. These bullets can be large. Maybe you've survived a health scare. Or maybe even larger as a nation through diplomacy that averts going to war. When we do manage to dodge a bullet, we usually respond with grief and gratitude. "Thank you, God." And we move on. A bullet dodged is behind us. It's in our past, and we can now move forward. However, according to today's reading from Isaiah, as Christians, as people of faith, as servants of the Lord, we are not to sit back when we've dodged a bullet. But instead, we are called to push on, serving God in ways that we cannot comprehend. We are to view dodge bullets as beginnings, not endings. Our reading today is the second of four passages in Isaiah that are known as the servant songs. We looked at the first one in chapter 42 last week, and you will recall how the servant, as described there, is one called by God to bring justice to the nations. The servant is strong and persistent, and the servant usually works quietly. The servant is a light to the nations. The servant has power because of God's Spirit. The servant songs are beautiful poems which provide descriptions of the servants of God. The servant songs originated at a time of great distress for the Jewish people. It was the time of the Babylonian exile in the 6th century BC. The Babylonian army had laid waste to Jerusalem and carried many of her citizens back to Babylon. With Jerusalem and the temple destroyed, the people openly questioned if God was still with them, or had they been abandoned? But God, we know, is with them, always with them. And in today's reading, the servant speaks. The servant was called by God before birth. God gave the servant power. God made the servant's mouth sharp like a sword. God made the servant to be like a polished arrow. A polished arrow would be strong and would fly straight. And like a sharp sword, it is a formidable weapon. But God may not use the servant immediately. God may tuck the servant away until God is ready. Like an arrow in God's quiver, the servant is one of many, waiting to be used at a needed time. God declares, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified." How great it must be to be a servant of the Lord. But the servant in this song laments that in the service to the Lord, I have labored in vain. The servant's purpose is to gather the people home to Jerusalem, to save them, to bring them back from across the world after the war. The people want to go home. They want to be restored. The servant's job is clear, to bring the people home. But for some reason, the servant doesn't feel that this is enough. And in fact, God agrees. God changes the servant's mission. Because simply returning the exiles to their homeland is, as God puts it, too light a thing. Instead, God tells the servant, "I will give you as a light to the nations." And the purpose of this redeployment is for God's salvation to now reach the ends of the earth. Returning the exiles to their homes, that's good. But it is really just dodging a bullet. Bringing God's salvation to all the earth, that is a task worthy of God's holy servant. And as I look out now, I see all of you who in some way have answered this call to servanthood. You embrace this as a key part of your faith, of being a Christian. You serve in many wonderful, compassionate, and usually quiet ways. You are generous and patient, loving and kind. You are God's emissaries on this earth. However, as we read from Isaiah, the servant is called for more than that. Feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless is well and good, but we know it's just a temporary fix. It's dodging bullets. If we are satisfied with doing these things, then, well, we can be God's plumbers, patching leaks and clearing pipes. But God calls his servants to do more, to work for the restoration of all creation, to be a light to the nations. From beginning to end, this is the story of God, the salvation of the world. And God invites us to be part. That is our challenge. To seek beyond our immediate concerns and into the needs of creation. What can we do to make this world God's kingdom? God offers us a divine purpose beyond our own limited self-interest. You are all servants. You may not feel equipped for the job, but you are. God made you. You're a sword. You're an arrow. You have power. God chose you before you were born. God may even have kept you hidden, planning for you to do your work later in life. And when the time is right, if not already, you will be called forth, pulled from God's quiver to serve. So here, at the beginning of 2017, a new year, may we commit and recommit ourselves to being Christian servants. And I invite you to get us going, that we all say together, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.